Yeah, Culture Freedom Radio. Culture Freedom Radio. Culture Freedom Radio. Say this, Culture Freedom Radio. Yeah, what's up, family? How y'all doing out there? This Culture Freedom Radio Network is in this house once again. We coming in the house, man, to do our thing, do our thing, do our thing. We most definitely coming in the house right here to show and prove. You know what I mean? We got to do the knowledge on this thing right here tonight. Culture Freedom Radio in the house. But check this out, family. I come in the house just to tell y'all how y'all can stay linked up with us and stay connected with us right here on Culture Freedom Radio Network. And you can check us out, first of all, on Facebook at Culture Freedom Radio Network on Facebook. That's obvious. Most definitely, that's obvious. Hey, you also can check us out right there on Facebook at Culture Freedom on Facebook. Oh, yes. Culture Freedom Radio Network and Culture Freedom on Facebook. You also can link up with us right there on Twitter, which I like to call the little Tweety Bird site. Tweet, tweet, tweet. On Twitter, y'all, at Culture Freedom 9 on Twitter. You also can link up with us right there on Google Plus at Culture Freedom TV on Google Plus. And also can link up with us right there on YouTube at Culture Freedom TV as well on YouTube. Oh, yes, I'm telling you. Hey, but most definitely want to go and check us out on our official homepage, our official website. That is Culture Freedom Radio Network, CultureFreedomRadio.com. CultureFreedomRadio.com, the official homepage and website for Culture Freedom Radio Network. Most definitely in the house, y'all. Oh, man, I'm telling y'all. We just all over the place, all over the place. Most definitely in the house. Trying to do our thing, y'all, to help come in the house to help liberate the minds of our people. Yes, we are coming in the house to do what we have to do to help free the minds of our people. Yeah. We Culture Freedom Radio Network is hosted by none other than your brother that it is, Brother Eric and Brother Sun Ray 9. Yeah, we are your gracious hosts right here at Culture Freedom Radio Network. Most definitely, most definitely. Come on. Let's show and prove, y'all. Let's get it in the house as we do our thing right here on Culture Freedom Radio Network. Come on, let's get it. Yeah. We Culture Freedom Radio.
Say what?
We Culture Freedom Radio.
You who?
We Culture Freedom Radio.
Say what?
We Culture Freedom Radio. Let's get it.
Culture Freedom. We Culture Freedom. About to bust the move. Culture Freedom Radio, we're busting the move. Come on.
We're gonna get it. We're gonna work with it. We're gonna get it. Gonna work with it. Culture Freedom, make it work with it. Gonna get it. Gonna get it. Work with it. Gonna work with it. Culture Freedom, gonna hit it with it. I said, your boy, we're gonna work with it. That's how we do it, y'all. Come on, let's start this show, y'all. Peace and greetings, family. Peace and greetings. Much love. Much love. How y'all doing out there? Assalamu alaikum. Hotep. Baragani. Man, and what's up? What's up? Yeah, what's up, family? How y'all doing? Hey, welcome in one more time, man, to a Culture Freedom Radio Network. This is a special show for today. Actually, man, this is a change up for today. We had another topic we was going to come in and do. Well, actually, an open line that we was going to do earlier. But, hey, I almost slipped my mind. I don't know how it almost did it, y'all. But today, man, we're just going to do a little something here. Not going to be no conversation tonight, family. We're going to actually turn it over, flip to today's topic of conversation that we supposed to have, open line conversation Tuesday. We're going to flip that one over to tomorrow. So we're actually going to be on tomorrow with open lines and just a little few conversation things that we want to present ourselves tomorrow. But today, you know, this is the 52nd anniversary or the 52nd year marking the death of Malcolm X, the brother that we know as Malcolm X or Brother Omawale. You know, this is the 52nd year marking his death. So tonight, we just want to play a couple of things. Just dealing with his assassination. You know, a lot of time, you know, we play some clips. Probably on his birthday, we might play some of his speeches. But tonight, I wanted to just do something different. I wanted to play some things as is happening about his assassination. I want to play some clips and things that's surrounding some things that escalated that that was, you know, put some of the evidence on the table to make us think about what was happening, who might have killed them, why they might have killed them, and things of that nature. That's what I'm going to be doing tonight right here on this broadcast. So tonight is just going to be primarily a lot of clips and some great information that you're going to be hearing tonight. That's primarily it that you're going to hear. Like I said, we'll be on tomorrow, actually, for the live talk show tomorrow night. See my brother Eric, and I'll make sure, see if he got anything you want to put in here when we get into these clips. Peace, peace, love, brother Eric. Peace, peace. Okay, I think he didn't listen. Uh-oh.
Hello?
Uh-oh. Yeah, peace. Peace, brother Eric. Peace, peace.
Peace. Oh, yeah. Take my phone off my hip, man. I'm listening.
Yes, sir. I know you wanted to come in. I do like, uh-oh, let me see. I ain't want to put him on the spot.
Sir, I had to come in. Man. He was calling me. So,
yes, sir.
I'm trying to do everything all at the same time. But, yeah, I'm glad to be on the air with the family, the build, and whatnot. So, yeah. Let me just put myself on mute.
Yes, sir. Yeah, like I said,
yes,
brother,
sir.
I'm just going to throw a couple of little clips in here. I got one, brother. I don't know if you heard it either. I just heard it from our good brother, Umar Shabazz. You know, did that other documentary, and I got a couple of clips on there from that documentary that the brother did. So I'm going to primarily be getting into some of that. Yeah, so that's what it's going to be, family. All right, family, we're going to mute ourselves, and we're going to get to y'all, let y'all hear some of these clips, and we're going to sit back and listen to some of them ourselves. Like I said, this is not going to be a long show tonight, just some primary thing, just playing some clip, man, surrounding the assassination of Brother Malcolm X, man. So peace and love, y'all. We maybe holler at y'all at the end of the show. All right, peace. Let me mute myself. Oh, Sunray, you mute yourself out first too fast. Let me play this little mix right fast, man. Well, before I get into those assassinations, let me do this musical Malcolm X thing. Let y'all hear Brother Malcolm X speaking, and then we'll jump right into these. So I'm not going to narrate these clips. These clips are just going to come back to back. But let's play this one right here first, family. Now I'm on mute. Peace.
And now, if the federal government does not find it within its power and ability to investigate a criminal organization such as the Klan, then you and I are within our right to wire Secretary General Ussoff of the United Nations and charge the federal government in this country behind Lyndon B. Johnson with being derelict in its duty to protect the human rights of 22 million black people in this country. And in their failure to protect our human rights, they are violating the United Nations Charter, and they are not qualified to continue to sit in that international body and talk about what human rights should be done in other countries on this earth. This is an output down. Back during slavery, when black people like me talked to the slaves, they didn't kill them. They sent some old house Negro along behind them to undo what he said. You have to read the history of slavery to understand this. There were two kinds of Negroes. There was that old house Negro and the field Negro. And the house Negro always looked out for his master. When the field Negroes got too much out of line, he held them back in check. He put them back on the plantation. The house Negro could afford to do that because he lived better than the field Negro. He dressed better, and he lived in a better house. He lived right up next to his master in the attic or the basement. He ate the same food his master ate and wore his same clothes. And he could talk just like his master. Good diction. And he loved his master more than his master loved himself. If the master got sick, he'd say, "What's the matter, boss? We sick, we sick." When the master's house caught a fire, he try and put the fire out. He didn't want his master's house burned. He never wanted his master's property threatened. And he was more defensive of it than the master. Well, that was the house Negro. But then you had some field Negro who lived in huts. They wore the worst kind of clothes. They ate the worst food. And they caught hell. They felt the sting of the lash. They hated their master. Oh, yes, they did. If the master got sick, they prayed that the master died. If the master's house caught a fire, they prayed for a strong wind to come along. This was the difference between the two. And today you still have house Negroes and field Negroes. I'm a field Negro. If I can't live in the house as a human being, I'm praying for a wind to come along. If the master won't treat me right and he's sick, I'll tell the doctor to go in the other direction. But if all of us are going to live as human beings, as brothers, then I'm for a society of human beings that can care for each other. So before I sit down, I want to thank you for listening to me. I hope I have. I'm not intending to try and stir you up and make you do something that you wouldn't have done anyway. I pray that God will bless you in everything that you do. I pray that you will grow intellectually so that you can understand the problems of the world and where you fit into in that world picture. And I pray that all the fear that has ever been in your heart will be taken out. And when you look at that man, if you know he's nothing but a coward, you won't fear him. If he wasn't a coward, he wouldn't gang up on him. He wouldn't need to sneak around here. This is how they function. They function in mobs. That's a coward. They put on a sheet so you won't know who they are. That's a coward. No. The time will come when that sheet will be ripped off. If the federal government doesn't take it off, we'll take it off.
The son of the messenger, Elijah Muhammad Jr., delivered a very angry address to an all-male Muslim crowd on June 28, 1964. Elijah Muhammad Jr. announced that Malcolm's 10-year rule was over. After calling Malcolm inappropriate names like a red no-good dog, a red-complexioned devil, an outright hypocrite who needed to be killed, Elijah Muhammad Jr. gave a direct order to all in attendance to go out to Malcolm's house, bang on the structure of the house until the house collapsed, take a knife, hold Malcolm down, and cut out his tongue and deliver the tongue to him. Seated in the audience was Norman 3X Butler, who would soon be charged with Malcolm's murder.
Yes, I was there. I heard him. That was Elijah Muhammad Jr. And it was about, I would estimate about 700 people there at the time, plus officials in the Nation of Islam at the time from all over the country, security officials, and the captains of various mosques, their aides and so forth. Yes.
Do you believe that had anything or much to do with Malcolm eventually being murdered?
Probably so. I would guess so. Not to say that was absolutely necessary or needed or something like that. I think that they came really because New York seemed to be slow in responding in whatever way it was thought that they should.
And it was he who heard Elijah Muhammad Jr. come to New York when Elijah Muhammad was at the armory in June of last year, Junior stood up and told the fruit, many of whom are here now also, that I should have been killed, that my tongue should have been put in an envelope and sent back to Chicago by now. And then Clarence, the captain from Boston, and John, the captain from Springfield, came to New York to assassinate me and came to him to get a silencer and couldn't get it. So the police know this. It's not something that's new. They just wait until the job is done and then they step in.
You mean he was going to kill you?
Was a good friend of mine. I loved him because he was a motivator. He motivated me and many more. And
yes,
to say that.
No, he did. He definitely did. But I just wanted for clarity because we have these news clips where he said that you came to New York and ordered the fruit that they should have cut his tongue out and delivered it back to Chicago, or you was going to sit Captain Joseph down. And then he said you went and got the Captain Clarence out of Boston and all of this talk. So I just wanted to hear your side of it.
Tried to set Yusuf down, and my father would tell them, both of them, and Lewis had a problem with Captain Yusuf too, and he would tell them that he is my captain, and that ended that.
Right, but I remember in New York we had the headlines of the paper. They said that he was sat down, and Shaw came back one time and said, y'all thought I was gone, you know. But, yeah, I remember that history very well.
Yes, I was there. I heard it. That was Elijah Muhammad Jr. And it was about, I would estimate about 700 people there at the time, plus officials in the Nation of Islam at the time from all over the country, security officials, and the captains of various mosques, their aides and so forth. Yes.
With great regret, there's no organization in this country that could do more for the struggling black man than the black Muslim movement if it wanted to. But it has gotten into the possession of a man who's become senile in his old age and perhaps doesn't realize it. And then he has surrounded himself by his children who are now in power and want nothing but luxury and security and comfort and will do anything to safeguard their own interests. So I feel responsible for having played a major role in developing a criminal organization. It was not a criminal organization at the outstart. It was an organization that had the power, the spiritual power, to reform the criminal. And this is what you have to understand. As long as that strong spiritual power was in the movement, it gave the moral strength to the believer that would enable him to rise above all his negative tendencies. I know, because I went into the movement with more negative tendencies for the betterment of the community by any means necessary. And since tonight we had to get into this old nasty negative subject, we didn't want to bring up our program. We're going to have. But as the African nation, we became proud of it. And became proud of it, we began to have something effect with it. But
you mentioned conspiracy between the black Muslims and the right wing in this country. Could you elaborate on it?
I mentioned the conspiracy between the Muslims and the right wing in this country. I know for a fact that there is a conspiracy between the Muslims and the Lincoln Rockwell Nazi and also the Ku Klux Klan. There is a conspiracy.
Describe this conspiracy.
Well, the Ku Klux Klan made a deal, or were trying to make a deal, with Elijah Muhammad in 1960 in the home of Jeremiah X, the minister in Atlanta at that time, who at present is the minister in Philadelphia. They were trying to make a deal with him to make available to Elijah Muhammad a county, a size tract of land in Georgia or South Carolina, where Elijah Muhammad could then induce Negroes to migrate and make it appear that his program of a segregated state or separated state was feasible. And to what extent these negotiations finally developed, I do not know, because I was not involved in them beyond the period of December 1960. But I do know that after that, Jeremiah, who was the minister throughout the South, could roam the entire South, and the Klan not bother him in any way, shape, or form, nor would they bother any of the black Muslims from then on, nor would the black Muslims bother the Klan.
Are you inferring, then, that because of this conspiracy, the attempt was made upon your life?
The attempt could have been made upon my life. Answer that again.
Are you inferring that because of this conspiracy, the attempt was made on your life?
Not necessarily that conspiracy. The attempt was made upon my life because I speak my mind and I know too much, and they know that I will speak it whether they like it or not. Pardon me?
Are you urging your followers to take any action against the Muslims?
Am I urging my followers to take action against the Muslims? No. No.
When you say you rely on Allah for protection, you've always been some kind of activist. You still think that you're going to try to infiltrate the organization and win over some of their supporters?
Am I going to try and infiltrate their organization and win over some of their supporters? No, I have never tried to win supporters from Elijah Muhammad. Since I have left the black Muslim movement, I've spoken at these rallies. Those who come, come. Those who don't, don't. But I've never gone out of my way to win over any of his followers. And he himself is fearful because he knows that you don't have to exercise too much energy to win his followers. As soon as they know truth and compare the two, and by the way, this is the brother. This is, I didn't even see you there, brother. This is Leon Amir, who was Cassius Clay's secretary, whom they beat unmercifully up in Boston. And the court freed the men who beat him. They fined him $100, was it?
Yeah, $100.
Fined him $100. And he was on the inside of the black Muslim specialty squad. And I know it. And it was he who heard Elijah Muhammad Jr. come to New York when Elijah Muhammad was at the armory in June of last year. Junior stood up and told the fruit, many of whom are here now also, that I should have been killed, that my tongue should have been put in an envelope and sent back to Chicago by now. And because Fat Joseph had not done it, they demoted him. He remained captain, but Clarence up in Boston was put over Joseph. And Joseph's authority was curtailed. And then Clarence, the captain from Boston, and John, the captain from Springfield, came to New York to assassinate me and came to him to get a silencer and couldn't get it. So the police know this. It's not something that's new. They just wait until the job is done and then they step in.
When you say, do you know that Elijah Muhammad was behind this?
Yes, now, Elijah Muhammad invited, called all of his officials, national officials, to Chicago in October and ordered them to kill or maim any of his followers who leave him to follow me. Well, when you say, how do I know, many of the brothers who were in at that time are out now. And if this ever come into the court, there are plenty of witnesses who can stand up and testify to it. Pardon? Pardon.
This specific law, do you have anything?
I'd rather not say at this time.
When you say you know too much, what do you mean?
Who's the next one? Give them 2 more minutes. Give them 2 more minutes and we'll end it. Yes. Yes, when I said that no one can clean up our home but us, and that we will clean it up, including no one should control it but us, including the politics, what do I mean? I mean exactly that. That the black people. You're thinking of who? Powell? Powell's one of us. No, he's not a member of our organization, but when I say he's one of us, I mean he's one of the family. And no one outside the family can get us to talk about him. If we talk about him, we talk about him within the family. But nobody outside the family can instigate us against power. Yes. By controlling it politically, I mean that the politics of the community of Harlem should be controlled by those of us who live in Harlem, not by somebody sitting down in Gracie Mansion. Sir? No. But the Organization of Afro-American Unity intends to get involved in every kind of action that's going on in New York City. We don't intend to let anybody downtown influence us in any way, shape, or form. We want the influence to come from Harlem and from other Harlems around the country. Now, this doesn't mean we're anti-outside of Harlem. This doesn't mean we're anti-Bronx or anti-White Plains or anti-white or anti-German or anything like that. But it means we're pro-Harlem. We're pro-ourselves. We want to start doing something for ourselves. That's all it means. It means that we want to stop begging you for your school. We want you to get out of the way and let us straighten out the schools in Harlem. Yes, sir. I just answered it when I said from tonight on there'll be a hot town in the hot time in the old town. I answered it when this gentleman over here asked. It's a song that we used to sing. An implication, an implied threat. I never imply any threats to anyone. I'm a Muslim. My religion is Islam. It's a religion of peace. And sir, yes, I do believe there'll be further attempts on my life. I know them. They're foaming at the mouth. The rank and file Muslim means well. It's those at the hierarchy who are living off the fatted calf who don't mean well. And this coming Sunday at 2 o'clock, our program will be unfolded. Elijah Muhammad knows he has done some good things and he has done some bad things. He knows that if he had wanted to, he could have united our people with the Muslim world just by teaching the right religion of Islam. He could have done so. The entire Muslim world would have accepted him. As it is now, the Muslim world has rejected him. He can never go into the Muslim world saying that he's a prophet or that Allah came over here in the flesh. They would cut his head off if he said that over there. I mean, he knows this. None of his followers can go over there without denouncing him. It's impossible for them to go to Mecca or any other place unless they ascribe to Islam as it is ascribed to over there. So he was in a position to unite us with the Muslim world, those of us who are Muslim. He was also in a position to unite us with Africa. But you cannot read anything that Elijah Muhammad has ever written that's pro-African. I defy you to find one word in his direct writing that's pro-African. You can't find it. Listen to this question this man asked me. What are you trying to get at? No, he asked me, look, now I got to tell him what you asked me. He asked me, don't I think if I got hurt, you know, wouldn't some of my followers retaliate? What are you trying to say? Or what are you trying to get me to say? I mean, it's okay. I'm not going to get you in any trouble. These are your friends in here. But I just want them to hear what you're asking me. That's all. I just want them to hear what you're asking me. You wouldn't get in no trouble in here.
The following program contains intense violence and strong language that may not be suitable for all audiences. Viewer discretion is advised.
This statement is from Messenger Elijah Muhammad, the leader of the Muslims in America. Minister Malcolm Shabazz addressing a public meeting at Manhattan Center in New York City on Sunday, December 1st, did not speak for the Muslims when he made comments on the death of the president, John F. Kennedy. He was speaking for himself and not Muslims in general. And Minister Malcolm has been suspended from public speaking for the time being. Mr. Muhammad's correct statement on hearing of the death of the president was as follows. We with the world are very shocked at the assassination of our president, and the nation still mourn the loss of our president. And he has said that it seems that every president who speaks out on behalf of the Negro has been assassinated from Lincoln to President Kennedy.
In January of 1965, Malcolm told two of his top aides that he had to make an important trip to Los Angeles. He had to get some important information from two of the girls that Elijah had knocked up. Using the fictitious name of David in an attempt to keep a low profile, Malcolm boarded a plane from New York and flew to Los Angeles. Malcolm's cousin, Hakeem A. Jamal, who wrote the book From a Dead Level, Malcolm X and Me, was waiting inside the airport terminal with an old friend of Malcolm named Edward Bradley. While Jamal and Bradley were waiting for Malcolm to arrive, they noticed a well-dressed black man sitting in the lounge who Jamal thought he saw somewhere before. Jamal said to Bradley, "Wow, that guy looks like a black Muslim." Jamal couldn't stop staring at this well-dressed black man he thought was a black Muslim. But when the man got up and walked over to a cigarette machine and purchased a pack of menthol cigarettes and lit one up, Jamal dismissed the whole thought. Jamal's dismissal didn't last long because in less than a nanosecond, his eyes were back on the well-dressed man toting on that stogie. Jamal's eyes followed the man like an eagle protecting its nest. It was the cigarette that the man kept puffing on that was challenging his initial thought. Muslims don't smoke, so how in the world could this man be a black Muslim? And then suddenly, Jamal realized that he indeed was correct. The well-dressed stranger that he couldn't make his mind up about was the National Secretary of the Nation of Islam, John Ali. And then, as if they came out of the woodwork, several black Muslims suddenly appeared, and the airport was crawling with them. It was obvious they were not there to hug and kiss Malcolm. They were there to kill him. Either someone in Malcolm's camp betrayed him, or law enforcement alerted the black Muslims about Malcolm's trip to Los Angeles. Realizing the immediate danger Malcolm was in, and that his plane would arrive at any minute, Jamal quickly alerted airport security, and the plane that Malcolm was on was diverted to a different terminal. Malcolm describes the incident in his own words.
"The black Muslim movement tried to kill me in Los Angeles airport while I was in the company of the Los Angeles police. The Los Angeles police stopped the TWA airlines from taking off. They slipped me into a private room onto the plane through the basement because of the presence of these persons in the airport who were completely heedless of the presence of the police. Now, this airliner was held up an hour and a half. Every passenger aboard it was taken off. His luggage was searched. I was kept on the plane. My luggage was searched. And then the TW airline security agent flew to Chicago from Los Angeles with me. I was met at the airport in Chicago by the Assistant Attorney General of the State of Illinois and at least 20 different detectives. I was held in their custody for 24 hours. I appeared on the Cup Sonnet show. When I came out of the studio, officials of the black Muslim movement in Chicago even tried to attack the police to get at me. Police department from coast to coast in this country have the black Muslim movement well infiltrated, just as they have any other group well infiltrated. They are well aware of these plots and discussions that take place."
Malcolm couldn't have had a worse enemy against him more than John Ali. This was a cold-blooded nigger who would brave the very fires of hell to get what he wanted. This was the one man Elijah was scared of. Ali's fixed, unemotional, and uninteresting-looking face did, however, emote his soulless spirit and cunning gaze, supported by his lowered shoulders, reminiscent of a rat poised to strike. When his weekly paycheck given to him by Elijah Muhammad was threatened, Malcolm didn't stand a chance.
"But on a program in Chicago called Hotline, was moderated by Wesley South, John Ali, the national secretary, admitted, I think it was Wednesday or Thursday, one of these days last week, that they absolutely were going to kill me. John Ali, the national secretary, admitted that they absolutely were going to kill me.
Okay, here's the deal. John Ali arrived in New York on February 19, 1965, and checked into the Americana Hotel. He meets with the shooters, and they go over their plans a few more times. After Malcolm is killed, Ali is supposed to immediately fly back to Chi-Town to solidify his airtight alibi concerning his whereabouts. It's important that Ali stands visibly alongside Elijah Muhammad during this press conference, slated for February 22, 1965. The press conference starts on the agreed time, but Ali is not present. John Ali missed his flight back to Chicago and had to take the next flight out to be at the press conference. Naturally, the press conference had to start without John Ali. Elijah Muhammad was accompanied by his son, Herbert Muhammad, and one of his top aides, Minister James Shabazz. These two men looked on nervously as the press reporters asked the head of the organization some serious questions about Malcolm's assassination. Elijah's son and the chief advisor carefully listened and hoped the old man wouldn't fuck up, because they knew that these news reporters could be very shrewd in getting someone to say something they had no intentions on saying and would later regret or would have to embarrassingly backtrack live on camera. It was like, I hope his brain doesn't fail now. If the old man fucked it up, the whole crew could instantly go down. They knew they killed Malcolm, and they had other things on their minds, like car payments, child support, another trip to Switzerland, and that kind of shit. And they knew that those material comforts in life could all go up in smoke if the wrong words were spoken. Damn, where's John Ali? The old man will keep the story straight if he's here. The press conference was set for less than 12 minutes, but with these tough questions being asked, it seems like it's an hour. And so far, Elijah's doing well in answering the reporter's questions. John Ali's absence has not yet been a major factor, but no one's out the woods yet, and beads of cold sweat are starting to form on three foreheads, and it's not because of hot camera lights. And of course, the questions were anticipated. Mr. Muhammad, did the Muslims kill Malcolm? Nah, we don't get down like that. How could you ask me something like that? We don't carry guns. You must be new on the job. You should know better than that. Malcolm was killed by God. Farrah did it, not us. You know, that kind of shit. The gesture of keeping one's fingers crossed is commonly used to wish for good luck when faced with evil. The lengthy contortions of twisted fingers being performed by two men standing in back of Elijah Muhammad, invoking the power of whatever force, human or otherwise, would have made Harry Houdini take notice. Crossed fingers are often used when telling lies or in order to invalidate promises. The onset of arthritic pain dictated that they soon have to break the cross. And then suddenly, John Ali appeared, nudging his way in between the two standing men. Cameras and flashing lights captured the moment and would also alert future historians to question John Ali's whereabouts before, during, and after Malcolm's assassination. Three photographs taken in successive order gave credence to the expression, a picture is worth a thousand words. And here we're talking about three. These photographs clearly demonstrate that John Ali's tardy arrival at the press conference supports a new theory. The CCTV camera is a closed-circuit television camera in which captured signals are not publicly distributed but are monitored primarily for surveillance, security purposes, or private viewing. CCTV relies on strategic placement of cameras and observation of the camera's input on monitors somewhere. These cameras gain the designation closed circuit to indicate that access to their content is limited by design only to those able to see it. CCTV cameras are typically the size of a silver dollar coin. It was widely rumored that on the day Malcolm was shot, that the entire assassination was filmed while it was happening.
All right, family, it's like a little moment of silence in there, family, because it's actually a video.
Before he fell, I noticed that across the top of the stage where the curtains are drawn, they come together like this, there were like flash bulbs popping off and off and on. And at first I thought, because the light from these lights that I saw going across back and forth, just running across the stage back and forth, like a whole series of flash bulbs were going off. And then another set would come go off. And it was like they were just running back and forth like this. My first reaction was, they're firing at him from above. And then in the split second, I said, no, it can't be, because when a gun is fired, when the gases are escaping from the muzzle of the gun, there's a bright flame that comes off, and it's not that yellowish color. I didn't think so. It wasn't that kind of color I was seeing. The second thought I had was, they're taping this. And, you know, it was like a cold chill. I said, they're making a movie of this. And by this time, then, Malcolm was flat, and the firing was going on. And I couldn't understand why they were still firing, because his feet were up like this. And from where I was seated, like the floor level being lower than the stage, all I could see were his shoes, the soles of his shoes. But the men who were firing into his body were standing up, so they were firing, you know, they were firing at an angle into his body, but from the bottom, you know, the bullets were going from the bottom, going up into his body. And that continued for a few seconds, and I again thought, why don't they stop shooting? Why are they continuing to shoot? The man is obviously dead. And then the shooting stopped.
From our research on Malcolm's assassination, the staff of Shabazz Productions have come to the conclusion that from a undisclosed location, that John Ali and a select few saw the pay-per-view murder of Malcolm X on a closed-circuit television monitor. Reached the conclusion that John Ali was late at the press conference in Chicago because he wanted to see the killing of Malcolm several times on playback after viewing it live. John Ali was having so many multiple orgasms viewing Malcolm's murder on TV that he forgot that he had to catch a plane back to Chicago. This is why the nigga was late.
had not, as I say, never resorted to no such thing as violence. Way I see it, Malcolm is the victim of his own preaching. He preached violence, and so he became the victim of it.
Would you say flatly that no black Muslims were involved in the shooting of Malcolm X?
I wasn't there, but I don't believe that any of my followers was had nothing to do with it at all. Because we don't even know this person.
Who do you think might have done it, and who would have had reason?
I don't know.
Malcolm didn't know what he was playing with. No, he didn't. He didn't know what he was playing with. You don't jump up against a divine messenger of God like he did. He asked to die. And God obliged him. No, you don't understand. Like someone said, did you Muslims kill Malcolm? So the messenger said, and what if we did? He said, what if we did? Have you ever seen a leader scandalized like Malcolm scandalized Muhammad? Have you ever heard of anything like that? Don't you know if you scandalize a man who's loved and honored by the people, what are you asking for? You're asking for death. And he got what he asked for. And those who killed him, they weren't sneaking behind no damn counter. They came in the place where the man was preaching and killed him in front of his own followers. That's fearless men. And those who were there to guard him, they were ducking. Damn cowardly dog. Ducking and running under poles instead of trying to protect the man that you say is your leader. You damn punk, you don't have no leader. If he's your leader, why the hell don't you stand up for him? Now all of a sudden they can serve you a dead man on a platter. And you eat him up as your leader, not knowing nothing about him while he was alive and know less about him now that he's dead. Malcolm's momentum carried him to his death.
As a black man from America, which is a racist society, no matter how much you hear it talk about democracy, it's as racist as South Africa, or as racist as Portugal, or as racist as any other racialist society on this earth. The only difference between it and South Africa preaches separation and practices separation. America preaches integration and practices segregation. This is the only difference. They don't practice what they preach. Whereas South Africa preaches and practices the same thing. I have more respect for a man who lets me know where he stands, even if he's wrong, than the one who comes up like an angel and is nothing but a
white
devil.
Person. No, I'm not with him.
I don't agree with him because I'm not a follower of Muhammad myself. I think that all people have been mistreated in some form or another. But I don't agree with him. I don't follow Muhammad. I don't think anyone should follow one man. I think they should follow their own conscience. I think the main problem of most Negroes is that they feel sorry for themselves. And I think that this keeps them back much more than they would be if they didn't feel so sorry for themselves.
If Martin Luther King, Roy Wilkins, or any of these compromising Negroes who say exactly what the white man wants to hear is interviewed anywhere in the country, you don't get anybody to offset what they say. But whenever a black man stands up and says something that white people don't like, then the first thing that white man does is run around to try and find somebody to say something to offset what has just been said. This is natural, but it is done.
You know what I think? I think you've given up.
Given up on what?
On the ideal of an integrated America.
the dream of Martin Luther King. I think you've given up. This is not, I'm not trying to be a smart aleck now. I'm telling you honestly that I think you've given up.
You know, it's interesting how white folks sit here thinking that I have a reason to lie to you as though you are so powerful and you are so wonderful that I'm so ashamed of my words that I have to twist and turn. Please, you're not dealing with that kind of man. You're dealing with a man who means what he says and says what he means. Now listen.
Some of you say, but it's not the white man. It's just the system. It's not the white man, it's the system. If we can change the system, we gotta change the system. You serve like a fool. It's not the white man, it's the system. That's just like saying, it's the spider web. It's not the spider. It's the spider web, it's not the spider. And you work to tear down the spider web, but you leave the white spider, and the white spider will weave another spider web. If you tear down the spider web that's in front of you, you haven't stopped the system. You haven't stopped the spider web until you deal with the spider, until you deal with this no good beast, until you deal with this bastard, this cracker, until you deal with this now.
Oh, yeah, family. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, family, check this out. Check this out. We got a little something extra for y'all. We're going to open these mics up. We're going to talk a little bit because I scheduled it for an hour and 30. I did have some more clips, but we're going to skip some of that. We just gave y'all a little gist. We gave y'all some good parts. So we got like 30, since we got like 30-something minutes left in the show, go ahead and open some of these mics up, man, and I'm going to come on in here, and I'm going to all right, brother. Just let me, you hit the one, bro. Let me know when you get ready to come in, bro. Yeah, so I know got brother David Israel in the house with us, man. So we're going to open these mics up a little bit, and we're going to conversate on some of the things that we heard since we got 37 minutes, and we're just going to run for that 37 minutes. But, man, oh, man. Let me bring my brother David in. I got something I want to put out here, something that Elijah Muhammad said. Peace, brother David, peace. Shalom.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes, sir, shalom.
Me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Wait, what's it? Yeah. Shalom, Chief Rabbi David Israel. Yeah, how was Israelite school? Yeah. Peace, Culture Freedom Radio, bro. Yeah, good for having me on. I remember. You know, there's a scripture. And I think it's Deuteronomy. Not Deuteronomy, Exodus 20th chapter, and it says about thou shalt not commit adultery. Now, we know that Malcolm, you know, he called out the Honorable Elijah Muhammad on his extramarital affairs. But see, the thing is, I know you don't like to go into the past history of what he say, she say, but there's a lot of speculation that, you know, I know it's Malcolm X this day he was assassinated, but, you know, but there's also rumors that Malcolm and Elijah Muhammad was beefing over women. You know what I'm saying? So we got to keep that in mind, too, that, you know, a lot of these beefs that you see going on Malcolm X versus Elijah, it ain't about, oh, Malcolm, well, Elijah Muhammad had plenty of bitches out there, not bitches, you know, women out there, they would get pregnant. I ain't gonna get mad at another man for getting some pussy. You know what I'm saying? I hate saying it, but, you know, we gotta come to mind about this stuff. It was the fact that they both had the same women. You know what I'm saying? Malcolm said good stuff, but we gotta be serious about this. A lot of these black organizations break up over either booty or money, okay? And it was all about the money. You heard it. He was talking about how John Ali, his secretary, Elijah Muhammad told him, if you do not get this done, you ain't getting paid. You heard him right.
Yeah. But I think, brother, I don't really think it had nothing to do with the women. They're just I think that was just a bunch of bullshit up front. Because here we go. You got two brothers. You got this was what was it called? The name, give it, even though the Lord of Elijah Muhammad, the name, let me go back, slow down. The name, give it away by itself. They said Nation of Islam. And Islam, according to the Quran, which they said they follow, you can have up to 5 wives. So it ain't no biggie about it. And I know Elijah said, I didn't come to get that old Islam. But still, he practiced Islam. So it's not a biggie because you're following the 5 pillars and all of that. So it wasn't a biggie about the wives. I think there was a bunch of other BS shit that was thrown into play. It's deeper than that. Because even Malcolm, you heard Malcolm say, they know I know too much. It was a lot of other things that was going on. Like when Elijah was dealing with H.L. Hunt and a lot of these other white businessmen.
No,
businessmen.
Yeah.
And you remember how he was talking about the other clip where he was trying to date with somebody of the Klan and then was trying to get him some land. So it was a lot deeper than the women didn't. That was a bunch of bullshit. I hate to say it like that. Excuse me, family. But it was just a front. That was a throw off. Because look. Remember, I did a whole show and I was talking about was have Farrakhan turned hypocrite, and I played the clip. Y'all go in and look it on YouTube. Look it up. What's the name of that clip? Farrakhan bring the wives of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad on stage or something like that. Now, remember, Farrakhan did that after Malcolm and all of them had died. After Malcolm, Elijah had died. He brought the so-called women on stage and said, these are the wives of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Even Tarnetta Muhammad, we know that wasn't Honorable Elijah Muhammad's wife at the time. It was Sister Clara Muhammad. So it wasn't about it really wasn't about that. I think it was a lot of other bullshit that was going on, and that was just the front. But like you said, man, and there's a documentary that was done on PBS. I know you can get it on it was on Black Media Archives and on iTunes. Black Media Archive. And it was this documentary they was telling about how when Malcolm and the Nation of Islam, it's at the time that Malcolm joined, there was only probably roughly about 500 some members in the Nation of Islam, roughly about that number. And when Malcolm became, the national spokesman, and he traveling, the numbers grew. So it was like you had this statement earlier when you were saying, brother, they knew, and if Elijah, if Malcolm left, a lot of those followers probably was going to follow him.
Yeah.
Meet with him, because shit, that's the reason they was there, because listen to the teaching. And what Elijah Muhammad said. Now, wait a minute. Malcolm said, everything Malcolm was saying, we'll talk about the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad did. We'll talk about the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad did. But what did, after he got killed, and what did Elijah Muhammad, we just heard Elijah Muhammad say that Malcolm got killed because of his own teaching or whatever. But I thought he was teaching your teaching. Oh, I see you back on there, brother Eric. But I thought Elijah Muhammad, so how Elijah Muhammad, you said Malcolm got killed because of his own words and because of his own teacher. But every time he went on stage, he said, we'll talk about the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad this. We talk about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad this. But now all of a sudden, he became a so-called hypocrite. It's his words. It was his teaching that got him killed. But y'all didn't tell Malcolm, man, you need to shut that shit up, brother Malcolm. Don't be talking about this. Don't be talking out of hard talk, man. Look, that ain't what we talking. But long as he was bringing in members and this and that and going around and shit, and bringing all these members in, bringing all that money in, y'all done said there wasn't nothing wrong with his teaching. But soon as he left the nation and started speaking out against y'all, now he killed his own self by his own words. Come on.
Yeah,
how the bullshit go?
But you know what? I also think that it was because Malcolm saw that he could make a brand for himself also. Cause you remember they said Malcolm had brand of himself too. He had a good brand, like Scripture said, Ecclesiastes 7:1, good name is button and gold and silver, and dead one's death and dead one's birth. Like you said, Malcolm's brand. You know what I'm saying? Like he had his own style and shit. You know what I'm saying? But like I said, you know, that gets your money, the brand name. You know what I'm saying? It's like a celebrity being on a certain product. You know, it's like when the celebrity is big, you know what I'm saying, they get them on the product, then it's all good. You know what I'm saying? For that product, for that company to sell that shit. You know what I'm saying? So that's why, like you were saying, the brand name, the money, you know.
And it was the teaching, man. The teaching was totally different. I hate to say it, even though he said that was his teaching and Allah Elijah Muhammad taught him everything. Well, when you sit down and just listen to Elijah Muhammad video, I mean, audio first class first, then go back and listen to a Malcolm. Man, those teachings are totally different. And I know he had respect to him because he said that was his leader and his teacher, but the teaching was totally different. Totally different. I still listen to both of them today. And I can get more. I ain't gonna say I get more out of both of them. I ain't gonna even go there. I leave that alone. But okay, just for instance, right now today, since if Elijah Muhammad was his teacher, just for the people, man, who do the people acknowledge more? Now that's his teacher. Now this the people. This ain't Malcolm. This is the teacher and the student. The people acknowledge more about Malcolm than they do Elijah. Elijah Muhammad's birthday come up, man, you would never see nobody say happy birthday, Elijah Muhammad. No, you know, anniversary of Malcolm, Elijah Muhammad. Don't nobody say shit. You try to play Elijah Muhammad show. I bet if we put up Elijah Muhammad, we put up a Malcolm show right now and play Elijah Malcolm X clip about Malcolm X. And then we do a show playing the lecture with Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Shit, that man, Malcolm X speeches, a show we going to do, going to get more numbers. Not just us, but anybody. Elijah Muhammad, man, ain't going to hardly get nobody's hit.
And I
hate to say that, but go ahead.
Plus, Elijah Muhammad was on slow-talking ass Geechee and shit. You know what I'm saying?
Goddamn, man.
Nobody want to hear that.
But it was a difference though, because see, Elijah might have just talked about, and I love the message you do now. I'm gonna have to say that now. I ain't trying to talk about it because we still quote him. Y'all hear that now? But it just was a difference, man. I just gotta just lay it out. And like I said, it was a lot of things probably be a jealousy, and then other members, other ministers and shit. Y'all already know people want that number one spot. Now, I can't wait till this nigga die. I can't wait till he die because I can come to national spokesman, or national secretary, the supreme captain. You know, motherfucker like that.
And there was something I know we was gonna talk about Farrakhan tomorrow, Savior's Day, but you just got me onto something that I saw on the Savior's Day Sunday. Okay, and I'm gonna bring it up tomorrow. Okay, you know what? I'm gonna just say it. I'm sad where I can give them a clip of what me and you gonna be touching on tomorrow. Wesley Muhammad versus Ishmael Muhammad. That's all I gotta say.
Wesley Muhammad
versus Ishmael Muhammad. That's all I gotta say. When you were talking about the jealousy of the ministers and the imams and rabbis and all that.
Yeah. Damn.
So I'm gonna give y'all a preview of what me and Brother Sunray, where I'm gonna go in tomorrow when we dissect that Savior's Day tomorrow. That's all I gotta say. Trust me, I'm making notes like a motherfucker.
Damn.
That's all I.
Yeah, you making me think now, bro. Yeah, you made me just think about something about this stage, on a stage. Yeah.
But we're going to break that down tomorrow. Okay, yep. So all y'all want to hear about the Savior Day experience, Big Brother Sunray had. It was up on the front stage with Willie Wilson. Yeah, that's my uncle's pastor, Willie Wilson.
Well, it was. Okay.
Yeah, my uncle got baptized by him and everything.
Oh, I got you. Yeah.
Willie Wilson, Union Baptist. Okay. way. Yeah, he used to bring us the tapes to Willie Wilson. Yeah.
And you know what, bro? It's this clip I was just playing. One of the clips I played, it was called Malcolm X Exposed the Nation of Islam Packed with the KKK. I played that one, and that was kind of long, about 11 minutes. Y'all can look it up on YouTube. It's called Malcolm X Exposed the Nation of Islam Packed with the KKK. But remember, Malcolm said this. He was like, and Farrakhan brought this up on Savior's Day. And I was when he brought that up, I was like, I thought about that clip what Malcolm was saying. And he was saying that Malcolm, and remember this too, bro. He said Malcolm and Elijah was always kind of like having it out with each other about, because Malcolm wanted to bring, get involved in the civil rights or something like that. They was trying to say get involved in the civil rights. And he was like, they were always, Elijah Muhammad and Malcolm was always having it out with each other over there, because Malcolm wanted to do more. Like, damn, how come we don't get involved in this? And Elijah didn't want to do that. He didn't want to get involved with nothing. He just wanted to sit back and like, nah, we. And you remember Farrakhan spoke about that.
I heard him, but we'll get into that tomorrow.
Malcolm just said that.
We'll get into that tomorrow. Yeah. Now, you can tell my last spot, but tomorrow, I like to say,
I don't blame him, man. Because look at what they said that Malcolm was attempted to do after he left the nation, where he attempted to, you know, and link up with other people in African countries. He did other African countries and stuff, and that just wasn't done under the leadership. And I think, like I said, it was a lot more to it. I don't think it had anything to do primarily with those sisters, him, Elijah Muhammad, having wives out, you know, with other women. Because the matter of fact, I remember the clip where they asked Warren Dean Muhammad, Elijah Muhammad's son, about that, because Malcolm said that Warren Dean Muhammad had told him about this shit, about that. He the one told him about it. When Warren Dean Muhammad told Malcolm, when Warren Dean Muhammad got out of jail, he ended up came and told Malcolm about it. So they had an interview where he asked Warren Dean Muhammad about it. And then he said, well, Malcolm said that you told him. And you see the expression on his face and his whole demeanor, how he acted. I didn't tell Malcolm. Malcolm told me about it. And you just see how, you know, when somebody lying, you can tell when somebody lying. You see it if you watch the video. You know, he's holding his head down. He didn't want to he didn't even want to look eye to eye with the person who was talking to. He'll look up at him, then look down at the ground and all that stuttering and shit. You know, man, I'm like, come on, bro.
Who was this?
Warren Dean Muhammad.
Warren Dean Muhammad.
Yeah, his son. The imam. Yeah.
Okay,
and I end up going to his when I started practicing soon. I used to go to his masjid, not knowing, you know what I'm saying, about the history like that at that time. But yeah, I used to go to the masjid up there, Sister Clara Muhammad, or it was called the one that's here in Memphis called Masjid El Mukminun.
Yeah,
where the believers bow down, Masjid El Mukminun.
I know you're talking about the one that invaded the draft, right?
Yep.
The Honorable Elijah Muhammad talked about his son didn't go into the draft and got locked up and some shit like that.
Yeah, that was him. Yeah. He got kicked out the nation hell several times. Yep. And then that's what that was strange to me. Now, he got kicked out several times. And he even actually denounced, saying that Elijah Muhammad, and while Elijah Muhammad was alive now, that Elijah Muhammad was not the messenger and all of this, and he didn't believe in Farad Muhammad, that was God in flesh. And I ain't got no problem with that part. But he denounced the whole teaching of the nation, and he got his ass kicked out several times. How in the hell when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and Elijah Muhammad had several sons, how did they end up making him the leader of the Nation of Islam after Elijah Muhammad died? That was just crazy to me.
I heard that story. That shit don't even sound right. I know you talking about. They didn't make even Farrakhan say that shit won't right. You know what I'm saying?
Many times he got kicked out. He denied the teachings openly when his father was alive and all of this stuff. He even told a story about it. He went to them old Pakistanians, Turks or Hindus, one of them, when he was doing the show. Him and Farrakhan, they was both on that damn show doing the interview. And but they make him the leader. I'm like, yeah, y'all knew damn well he was gonna destroy the nation.
Yeah, shit. Well, all that Arab Sunni shit making Salat. Lies, mama, they make no fucking Salat. He knew Salat, but. See, one thing about Malcolm, he said Elijah's mom did not know how to pray. That's a fucking lie. See, Elijah's mom knew how to pray. He knew how to make Salat, but see, he just didn't want people to be spooked out. That's all it was. You know?
Well, I don't know. But they did have, they said they don't believe in no spook God, but they did have a lot of spooky, it was a lot of spooky shit in the teaching. Man, you ever heard a lot of the Hadiths that they had? You know, we talked about Hadith yesterday. A lot of that shit about Farad and that still here and on the mother plane, all that. But man, it's a lot of this. It's still a lot of spookism shit in that now, in the teachings. And when it come to that God type shit, I ain't gonna lie.
I'll say this. Tomorrow we'll get in something about that Wesley Muhammad. You already know they said something about that.
I gotta let you tell. Look, if I ain't hear it, I missed it. You know what? We know how you do. I missed that part. But now I'm thinking about something, you know, that happened on stage. Like I said, we'll just talk about that tomorrow, though. Like you said. But yeah, man, it just coming in here, man. There's a lot of stuff there with Brother Malcolm, like I said, and it's a trip. And I even looked at it, man. I was like, damn, man. When his teacher, like I said again, when his birthday come up, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, man, you don't hear nobody. Don't nobody post nothing about him on Facebook, his pictures. They don't say happy birthday a lot, you know, even though I know he passed away. But, you know, people always say this would have been his birthday or something like that. And, man, Malcolm still get more props. And I don't know if I should be. I would say more respect. I say that. I don't want to say props or nothing because we ain't doing no Sonnetta TV shit like that. But he get more respect than Elijah Muhammad, even after everybody tried to make him, Tom Helm, a hypocrite. But everybody, you know, respect him more. And even Dr. Khaled at the same time. People have more respect and highlight for Dr. Khaled and stuff. And then hell, even Elijah. But so it was some stuff that might have damaged that them by them. If they did, I ain't gonna say they killed him. I ain't gonna even put that out there. But whatever happened, I believe that damaged a lot of credibility with Elijah Muhammad. And, you know, because of what happened to Malcolm. This is my opinion, y'all. This is my opinion.
And even with Dr. Khaled and Farrakhan.
Yep. Sure did. That messed up his credibility, too, with a lot of people. Because like you said, man, it was like a rerun, an evolutionary state. It's like, you know, I think, who was it said that? Khaled said that. Dr. Khaled mentioned that. It was on a video that he did, and he was talking about Farrakhan, you know, how their relationship, what happened. I forgot the name of it now. I knew one of them was called Stop the Execution and Start the Revolution. I remember that one, and there was another one he was talking about Farrakhan, how he got away from the teaching and all that. And he was saying the same thing about Malcolm and Elijah and Farrakhan and Khaled. And look at both of those people who basically kind of like had a dispute or a disagreement with their teachers about certain things that's dealing with the teachers. And look at both of those students who got killed. That's something else. It's something else there. But they'll say, like you said, see there, that's why you're never supposed to go against your teacher. You're never supposed to go against your teacher. Well, but if you teaching your people, man, all of this stuff, we need to get out here and do something in the community. We need to fire up and take a stand on something. And then your student like, well, shit, I'm ready. I'm ready now. I'm ready to roll. Whoa, 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 young man. Look, I didn't really literally mean that shit. I was just saying that. See, then they going to hold you like, wait a minute, bro. You've been teaching me we need to get out in the community and do this and do that. Now that we say, I'm ready. I've learned enough. I'm ready to roll. I'm ready to put stuff into action. Now you trying to tell me, no, we ain't going to do that, bro. We ain't going to do that. Like, it's like, you turning the motherfucking hypocrite, not me. Because you don't train me to get out here to be a warrior. Now I'm ready to go do what a warrior do. And you telling me, no. I'm just bullshit. I ain't really mean go out here and literally fight. So it's like, that's what happened, man. And that's why I say, like, you see, Khaled got a lot of respect. Dr. Khaled has a lot of respect in the black community, you know, and stuff. Because of his stance on a lot of things that he's actually done. So, yeah. And even his teaching some varies from Minister Farrakhan. You know, because you listen to Brother Farrakhan and you listen to some of the teachers of Khaled. It varies. And I know we all not supposed to be sounding like mimicking each other and sound like goddamn mockingbirds or parrots. But when you just listen to some stuff, it's like, but Malcolm is totally different. It reached totally different people. Yeah. But like I said, we don't have 13 minutes, man. We just came in the house tonight just to throw up a little something to talk about the session. Well, not really talk about it. We just played a couple of clips. Just bring in something from thought-provoking things tonight since it was his birth, not birthday, the anniversary, 52nd year. You know, and at first I was like, nah, I'm not going to do nothing on it. Well, yeah, let me go ahead. Because we had something else intended, but we'll do that tomorrow and give us more time to do it. So, yeah. But y'all check us out tomorrow night, man, at 7 p.m. Central Time, 8 p.m. Eastern, as we're just going to be going in here bringing up a lot of information. You know, I don't know. Hell, you know what? I forgot what the topic was. I don't think I got no topic, but it's on there, y'all. But check it out, because we're going to be going in doing some analysis on Savior's Day that happened on Sunday. Gonna got a little analysis. David, Brother David Israel, the chief, he got some notes for y'all.
Yeah, yeah.
He got some notes. So y'all don't want to miss that one tomorrow night. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yep. Get ready, man. I kind of dozed off for a second, man. But yeah. Get ready, bro. Get ready. I took down some damn notes. My old brother Sunray, he kind of received some of my text where I was telling him about that, you know. When I saw that, I was like, man, that shit ain't right, man.
I was just watching it out there. So check it out tomorrow now, because David Israel might tell y'all who going to be the next leader, because we asked, I wonder who going to be the next leader of the Nation of Islam. Brother David just might tell y'all. I don't know what he gonna say, but what he's saying, he might give y'all some. And what I saw on stage myself, now that David mentioned that, I think we know. Yeah. All right, family, we're gonna get up out of here, man. Much love. We're gonna get out here and get some rest ourselves, man. We see y'all on tomorrow. Man, peace and love, y'all, man. Hey, y'all stay safe out there. Most definitely stay safe out there. And like I said, be in the house tomorrow, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, man. We just going to have a little chop it up section, man, going in the house. Hey, be in the house with my special brother, Brother David. I ain't going to say special brother, but he'll be in the house hosting with me tomorrow. Brother Chief Rabbi David Israel going to be in the house, y'all. Man, peace. Much love, y'all. We out of here. Shalom. Assalamu alaikum.
Peace.
Host tip. And what's up, y'all? We gone. Peace.
Peace to God. Peace to the birds, peace to the public.